What's going on, everyone? Welcome back to Panels on Pages. My name is Dalibor, and today we're talking about Spider-Man No Way Home and really the whole MCU Spider-Man franchise. Now, I know it's been a few weeks, but it's the holidays, y'all. It's the holidays. There's just so many things happening. Hard to find time. But here we are. We're going to be recording a few episodes today. So for the next few weeks, you will definitely have a new episode of Panels on Pages every week. Now, a big complaint that I've seen people vocalize regarding the MCU Spider-Man, Tom Holland's Spider-Man, is that he is not his own hero. Much of what he does is kind of subordinate to Tony Stark. He fights Tony Stark's villains, or his villains are somehow like incited by Tony Stark. And that's not wrong. The Spider-Man we got in the MCU was brought to us by Iron Man. He went out and found him. He recruited him for the Avengers. And that's just kind of part and parcel of the deal here. If you are a comic book fan, you will know that he did get mentored by Iron Man for a while, but that was literally an era where he was an individual hero for a long, long time, kind of an Avenger, like really, really kind of an Avenger. And then when he finally joined the Avengers, he kind of saw that potential of mentorship and you know, like a father figure. I mean, he does seek a father figure subconsciously a lot. So even in the comics, Peter Parker always needs a father figure. And when he was on the Avengers, when he was on the new Avengers after the disassembled arc, he gravitated towards Tony Stark. You know, but that was after literal decades of being his own hero, literally being a solo bootstrap kind of hero, making his own stuff, having to sew his own costume, all that stuff that Tom Holland Spider-Man just hasn't had any sort of chance to do. We did see in Homecoming his ability to be that. His suit got stripped away because he wasn't using it per instructions, so he still went out and did the superhero thing without backup, without the fancy suit. Like, he was always going to be the hero. It's just that within the MCU, he got a leg up because Tony provided him a bunch of stuff. And I think, and this is my opinion, that's fine. We've talked previously about how things are different. This is not the same universe. The MCU is not 616. MCU Spider-Man doesn't need to be the everyman. He doesn't need to be the broke college kid. He doesn't have to scam J. Jonah Jameson out of money for pictures of Spider-Man, right? He doesn't have to do that just to survive. And that's okay. MCU Spider-Man doesn't have to be the 616 Spider-Man. He just doesn't. What's really funny here is that I don't remember anyone having these really strong opinions about lack of comic book accuracy when Loki used the Space Stone / the Tesseract to, you know, try to take over Earth and thus bring the Avengers together, because none of that happened in the comics. As far as I'm aware, none of that happened in any version of the comics, in any alternate universe, different reality. So this was a true original adaptation of the first story of the Avengers. And the fact that they combined the Cosmic Cube and the Space Stone into one, that's something that was not part of the comics. And while I have seen a little bit of pushback on that, it's not that big a deal, right? It's just that people have a real, like, deep connection with Spider-Man. And they see him as this, like, everyman, like, hero on the street, kind of doing it for the sake of doing it. You know, people refer to the Parker luck a lot and all this stuff that isn't present in the MCU. And to me, there's nothing wrong with that. For some reason, a lot of Spider-Man fans want him to just, like, always be in that box. Whereas, personally, I want to see growth. Like, I am not one who needs to read Adventures of Cyclops and Jean Grey for the rest of my life. If they were like, oh, Scott and Jean legitimately, like, have real kids. Like, she gets pregnant, we get, like, a year's worth of pregnancy, and then she has kids, and then, you know, right, they retire. I'm okay with that. I'm legitimately okay with that. I'm okay with the story being pushed forward. Some of the best storylines in comics show us what happens when the heroes retire, when they pass the mantle on to the next generation. What happens next is just as entertaining, if not sometimes more entertaining. I mean, there's a reason that Spider-Girl ran for 100 plus issues. There's a reason that X-Men: The End got 3 volumes Because it was a great story and it showed us what happens next. What does the future of this world look like? I want to see Spider-Man grow up. I want to see Peter Parker get his shit together. He knows enough people within the superhero community for him to have plausible, tangible, and verifiable alibis in case he's got to be late to work or his fucking money disappears or whatever else happens that would cause him to like come under suspicion. This whole current era of Spider-Man comes from Peter at some point being allowed to have a business, being a businessman, being wealthy, not just like okay, not just having a good job. He had a multinational corporation. He was doing all right. And then the next writer came on and was like, nah, he can't have none of that. So ironically, was it Nick Spencer that wrote that arc? He wrote, because Slott set him up with the corporation and him being recognized as an actual genius and an inventor and all this stuff. And post-Secret Wars, he came back and he had a corporation, he had a big company. And then during Secret Empire, which I have thoughts about, he had to sacrifice the entire business to prevent Doc Ock from getting control over it, and thus Hydra. I don't know. It felt like we need a reason to make Spider-Man poor again. What are you doing, Nick? Oh, Hydra's going to be running the place for a few weeks? Great. We'll just have Peter Parker destroy his entire company for the purpose of whatever the hell you're doing. And then he'll just be a pariah, and he'll be hated again. And it's not Spider-Man that's hated this time. It's Peter Parker that's hated this time. But it's the same fucking story. I hate writer's obsession. I hate writer's and reader's obsession with the fact that Peter Parker has to be broke. I liked Peter Parker married. And it worked. And guess what? You know how I know it worked? Because he's back with Mary Jane and they're having a relationship again. Because they worked. They were a good item. The story was good. Quesada disappointed me when he fucking broke them up. Honestly, I was like, it was the least interested I was in anything Spider-Man for the longest time. That literally took me, I mean, I just read everything from Brand New Day on. How long ago was that? 2 years ago? Brand New Day was 2009. It was 2009. So 10 full years for me to give a shit to read that because I liked him. I liked him married. I liked him having a stable home environment. It was a whole lot of dumb shit. And then they were like, oh, now he's got to be, now he was no longer married. Now, like all this shit, it's dumb. It's dumb. And No Way Home seems to be adapting part of that story, and as well as part of Spider-Verse and part of a lot of different shit, apparently. I'm interested to see No Way Home. No question about that. I want to see where they go with the multiverse stuff, because the multiverse stuff to me is like where the comic book weird shit happens, and that's what I want from superhero movies. I want comic book weird shit. I don't need like realistic Batman. No. I want Superman to fight Mr. Mixius Pitlick on the big screen. Yeah, I want that to happen. Why? Because it's fucking comic book weird shit. Give me a good Superman and give me a solid, funny, entertaining Mixius Pitlick story. I like seeing quirky weird shit. That's why currently Legends is my favorite superhero TV show. Because it's quirky and fucking weird and they're time hopping and there's a robot J. Edgar Hoover. Like, the shit is fucking weird, but it's awesome. Like, that's the whole point. It's fucking weird, it's comic book shit, and that's the best shit. A grounded, dope Iron Man was a great start. As we expand, I am very glad that we're getting into fucking magic, deep storytelling a la Captain America and Winter Soldier. Falcon, whatever. I can't not say it. I said it the whole time. Weird multiverse shit and fucking variants with Loki. and even more multiverse shit with fucking What If. Like, it's all, I'm so glad that's happening. I mean, shit, even Black Widow, which in reality is like the most realistic, because it's like spy work and KGB shit and like that kind of shit. There's like fucking mind control spray. That's cool. That shit was fun. Like, one of the best things about that movie was the like, hey, I know that literally an hour ago we were all trying to kill each other, but let's forgive and forget and move on with our lives. Like, that's superhero shit. Like, yeah, we were fighting, but like now we're on the same side, so we're just gonna just move forward and now we're on the same side. That's it. Ultimately, I wish everyone would let go of this obsession that like Spider-Man has to be this like down on his luck, always shat on, never winning, like old, like, and really old version of Peter Parker from the comics. Like, it's not the recent Peter Parker. Like, Peter Parker for the most part is doing all right. You know what I mean? Like, shit happens, and like he's got, you know, 80 years of fucking history with villains and shit, and motherfuckers keep trying to get him, do fucked up shit to him and his family, but like, that's kind of it. I think the reality is that people stress on this, like, oh, he's got to be all these things, but we don't have time for all those things in the movies. Like, realistically, everyone now is whining about, oh, we didn't get like good Hawkeye, because there was 12 other people on screen. And then in fucking Avengers Infinity War and Endgame, there was 43 fucking people on screen. You don't get time to show all these people off. The first Iron Man, Incredible Hulk, the first Thor, and first Avenger. I'm going to say those are the only four movies that had the space for proper character development, because everything else had to build for the next thing. In Iron Man 2, we got Black Widow, so we had to have a bunch of Black Widow nonsense shit. So, not to say nonsense, like, it was a good movie. It was not a great movie, but it was a good movie. But like, we had to have a bunch of Black Widow shit in order to set up Black Widow moving forward. Iron Man 3 was literally dealing with the repercussions of Avengers, so like, that whole thing is, so that movie is like Avengers 1.5. It's like, what happens to Tony after fucking New York? Thor 2, again, comes right out of Avengers. Winter Soldier comes out of Avengers, builds Age of Ultron, and builds Civil War, so like, it doesn't even have time to breathe. We get a little bit of character development, and we get a ton of action. That's how the movies have to be. Age of Ultron arguably had the most Hawkeye character development because Whedon, fuck him anyway, but Whedon wanted that fucking farm scene. And everyone was like, oh, he didn't need to have a family. Why the fuck not? Why can't he have a family? And everyone was like, oh, like, we didn't talk about the fact that he was deaf. Okay, that, honestly, if I'm meeting a secret agent for the first time, not a pertinent fucking thing to be like, oh, he's deaf, he wears a cochlear implant. Not very pertinent, in my opinion. Like, this is the guy. He can shoot fucking anything from anywhere fucking flawlessly. He's the guy. All of the character development that we've gotten, the best character stuff we've gotten, are in these longer movies. You know, I say that, are in these longer presentations. I don't want to call them, it's not really a TV show. It's really like a long movie. All of the good characterization, all the character growth, all the story, all the narrative progress has come from those presentations. Like, Loki was fun, right? But it took how many movies for him to, like, truly become a hero? And everyone's complaint on Loki was that they turned him into a hero. Well, no, he became a hero the first time around, too. But this time, he had to get over his bullshit because, oh, shit, my mother dies. And then, fuck, I die. And, oh, this does not end well for me. So maybe if I speed my fucking getting over my bullshit, I can get my shit done and maybe stay alive this time. The problem with the Spider-Man movies is, in truth, that yes, they do kind of build out of what else is happening. Avengers and Civil War directly build into Homecoming. Infinity War and Endgame directly inform Far From Home. Weirdly, I felt like should have maybe had a little more reference than just, oh, the blip. But nonetheless, if you're looking at it from a comic book perspective, you have the main issue, Captain America Civil War. And then Homecoming is Civil War aftermath, Spider-Man, right? That's really how it sets up. Far From Home is Endgame aftermath, Spider-Man. They're like the one-shots that follow the other thing that happened. In truth, the first real... And even No Way Home is really Endgame Aftermath Spider-Man, because that's even further. In fact, this is just chapter two of a mini series that is Endgame Aftermath Spider-Man, because this is directly following the last one, which is from, again, Endgame Aftermath. And you have a bunch of fucking multiverse shit happening. So, like, really, it's bigger than just Spider-Man. In truth, the first solo Spider-Man project for the MCU that we're gonna get is freshman year. We're gonna get to see those first days with powers, possibly Uncle Ben, possibly other things that people are missing. I mean, hell, maybe Ben in this world was a fucking Wall Street banker or some shit. Tried to help somebody, got killed. Same principles, right? But he was well off in some way that he was able to leave his wife and his nephew with a comfortable life, as opposed to Aunt May having to fucking figure out the bills and all that shit. But freshman year will actually be the first solo just Spider-Man thing we're gonna get for the MCU. And I'm really excited for it, because I do want to see that in-depth characterization. No Way Home in reality would be like jumping in on the other storyline in the comics. You'd be like, what the fuck? What? Spider totems and what the fuck is happening, right? You don't have the context if you didn't read the literal 5 years or whatever of JMS's run. I do agree with who, I think somebody said it on TikTok, but they said that they had a huge missed opportunity by not calling it Homeroom. And I was like, yeah, that would be dope, because that would just maintain that whole series. Freshman year, I'm super excited to see those early days, and to see kind of how they want to build up the backstory of Peter Parker in this universe. And I wonder, I'm curious, after that first season comes out, if there's more than one, we'll see. But let's just say after that first season of freshman year comes out, are the Spider fans, the like diehard broke Peter Parker fans, are they going to be satisfied? Will seeing yet another Uncle Ben get shot to death, will that be enough to satisfy this, oh, we don't have a good Spider-Man in the MCU? I don't know. I'm interested to see. I so far have liked Spider-Man. To me, this is like reading Avengers. Spider-Man shows up, does some shit, Spider-Man leaves. Like, if you were not reading Krakoa, the whole Krakoan era of X-Men, but you were like, I want to read everything Empire, there was a couple tie-ins. If you buy, let's say you buy the Empire hardcover, they're in there. You're going to read X-Men. It works. You don't know what else is going on. You don't know why Magneto is defending an island, and you're like, why are all these people living on this island? You don't know any of that. But they give you enough context clues to push the story forward. And then if you want more context, you go get that context. Freshman year, in my opinion, is like finding the old back issues. What happened before I picked it up? So what happened before we saw him in Civil War? That's what I'm curious about. I'm excited for No Way Home. I wish they would have left it without showing any of the multiverse stuff. Like, I mean, as far as like the villains that are coming through, all that stuff. I wish they would have left it all to speculation, because I guarantee you it would be an equal amount, if not bigger amount, of hype. I really wish these companies would start learning how to actually promote the shit, because I am sick of watching half the damn movie in 14 trailers that come out before it comes out. Give me a teaser, maybe even a full trailer. But if they had just left it with like, hello, Peter, right? That whole thing. Hell, if it was just voices, there's the hype right there. But anyway, we'll talk about that in another episode. Thank you for watching. Thank you for listening. And I'll see you in the next one.